There's bound to come some trouble to your life. That ain't nothing to be afraid of. There's bound to come some trouble to your life. That ain't no reason to fear. There's bound to come some trouble to your life. Reach out to Jesus, hold on tight. Been there before and he knows what it's like. You'll find he's there. There's bound to come some tears up in your eyes. Well, that ain't nothing to be ashamed of. There's bound to come some tears up in your eyes. That ain't no reason to fear. I know there's bound to come some tears up in your eyes. Reach out to Jesus, hold on tight. He's been there before and he knows what it's like. You'll find he's there. Well, people say maybe things will get better. People say maybe it won't be long. Oh, people say maybe you'll wake up tomorrow and it'll all be gone. Well, I only know that maybe just ain't enough when you need something to hold on. There's only one thing that's clear. I know there's bound to come some trouble to your life. Well, that ain't nothing to be afraid of. I know there's bound to come some tears up in your eyes. That ain't no reason to fear. I know there's bound to come some tears up in your eyes. Reach out to Jesus. Hold on tight. He's been there before and he knows what it's like. You'll find him there.
How many of you can identify with the words of that song? You know, it's more than just words. It's more than just a lyric that was written. Those are based on words of Jesus himself. He tells us that in this world, we will have trouble. It's in John, the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33. And that's actually what we're going to be looking at this morning as we wrap up this teaching series that we've been calling Cutting Straight, Rightly Dividing the Word of God, where we've taken different places in Scripture and we've looked at how do we stand on the Word of God and live a life in Christ. And today, what we're going to talk about and what we're going to focus on is how do we, according to God's word, endure suffering. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and take those out. Let's turn to John, the book of John, chapter 16, and we're going to look at verse 33. Now, while you're turning there to John 16, 33, let me introduce myself. My name is Corey. I'm one of the pastors here at New Work Fellowship. And listen, I am so glad that we're together today, especially if this is your first or second time with us, whether you're here in the room or whether you're watching online, we want you to know that you are among friends, and we would like to connect with you. What we ask everyone to do is fill out what we call our digital connect card. Now, there's an easy way to do that. There's going to be a QR code on the screen behind me. You can use your camera app on your phone or your QR code scanning app on your phone. All you do is point it to that QR code, and there's going to be a listening guide that comes up. At the top of that listening guide, there's a link where you can click, and it says Digital Connect Card. Now, if this is your first or second time filling that out, let me encourage you to do that, because what we're going to do is we're going to make a $10 donation to a ministry here in town that's doing kingdom work in your honor. So you can make a difference just by filling that out. Now, let's look at John, the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33, at this passage of Scripture. And there are three sentences in verse 33, and where Jesus is saying to his disciples, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Now, where this scripture is in the context of the book of John is very important. And we need to kind of understand a little bit of the placement of what Jesus is saying here, because it is at a pivotal moment, not only in the book of John, it's at a pivotal moment in the ministry of Jesus and in the lives of the disciples. Because if you back up and you look at all of chapter 16, John chapter 16, Jesus is doing something. He's preparing his disciples for one thing. He is preparing them for the suffering that is to come. And as a matter of fact, if you back up a little more, you see that this preparation that he is that he's walking his disciples through is taking place at the Last Supper. This is right before Jesus goes to the cross and is crucified for the sins of the world and then raised again on the third day so that we can have life in him. And it is in that context, it is in that moment, Jesus with his disciples, that he is preparing for them the suffering that is to come. He's preparing them for it. And if you look at the very first verse of John chapter 16, look at what he says. This will begin to show you what's going on here. He says, I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith. Can you imagine what that sounded like to the disciples? Do you think that after following Jesus in his ministry and seeing all of the miracles and learning all of the things that that they had learned, that they ever would have thought in the moment that they would abandon their faith? But let me tell you something. When suffering comes and hard times come and things take us out at the knees, those are moments where we reach a crossroads in our faith. And we live in a world today where people are walking away from their faith because of the world we live in, the circumstances that we're going through, and they just don't see a way forward. I hear the word deconstruction used way too much around faith in Christ these days. But the key truth is this, when we need to know this, is that suffering is inevitable. I mean, if you stop and think about it for a minute, can't you think of some ways that you're enduring suffering right now? As a matter of fact, I want you to do something. Let's take just a moment. You see those cards that are on your seat or were there around you when you came in? Go ahead and take those out with that pen. And let me encourage you to do this. Take that card and write down 1 to 3 ways that you are going through suffering right now. Now, it could be something big. It could be something heavy. You could be grieving. You could be in a time, a season of grief, a season of loss. But it could be something that is not quite as heavy. You could be suffering because you are just fatigued and absolutely worn out because of the busyness of this life. You could be suffering because when you look ahead to the future, you see something that has you worried and you're rehearsing that story over and over in your mind of what's coming and what's going to happen. It could be something that when you look at your past, you're suffering because you just can't get past whatever it was that happened, whatever the pain was, whatever the sin was, and you're hanging on to that. What is it that is causing you suffering in your life right now? Just write down 1 to 3 things on that card. What is it that you're walking through? I'll give you just a moment of awkward silence. Here's the thing. Some of you, the ink does not flow fast enough from that pen, does it? For you to get it all down quick enough. Because there's something that's true. In this life, we are either just coming out of a time of suffering, in the midst of a time of suffering, or headed towards a time of suffering. Just a little ray of sunshine for you this morning as we get started in our message, right? And now look, that's not all there is to life. Because what God's word teaches us is that in Christ, the life that we have in Christ, there is hope and there is joy and there is mercy and there is grace and there is forgiveness. But we can't allow that to blind us from the fact that this life still will be hard. And we will walk through very real circumstances. And that's what Jesus is preparing his disciples for. Look, the truth is, suffering is inevitable. And during these times, God leads us to Christ. He leads us to Jesus through the wisdom of his word. And he shows us one thing. We are not alone. So I want us to do something today. I want us to look at how, as believers, we can endure suffering. And the first thing that I want us to see is that you can embody a biblical response to suffering. Scripture speaks to this. Jesus speaks to this. He's speaking to it right here in John chapter 16, verse 33, in these three sentences. And if we just break those down and we look at just those three sentences, we can see a biblical response to suffering. So if you're going to embody a biblical response to suffering, you can do that by doing this first thing. Let's read John 16, the first sentence, 16:33a. We'll just call it that, where Jesus says to his disciples, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. The first thing that we can do, according to the words of Christ, to embody a biblical response to suffering is this. We can do that by listening to Jesus and finding peace in him. What is it that he says? I have told you all of this. He's literally speaking to his followers there. I have told you all of this. And they're hearing what he says. So let me ask you this. How do you hear Jesus? How do you hear the voice of Christ? Because we have to listen, don't we? If we're going to follow Christ and endure suffering, we have to hear him. We have to listen to him. So how do you listen? How do you listen to Jesus? I would say that the first way that God has made it very obvious and speaks to us every moment of every day is this. It's through his word. Every word of Scripture points to Jesus. Every word of Scripture is about Jesus. If you want to hear the voice of God lifting up the name of Jesus Christ so that he can do a work in you through the Holy Spirit, just open your Scripture and read. Listen to Joshua. I love this passage of Scripture. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. This is God speaking to Joshua as he's beginning this new chapter, this new ministry of leading the Israelites into the promised land. And does this sound familiar? This is that strong and courageous passage. But there's something else that I want you to see in this. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 and following. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Is this familiar to you? Does this verse ever pop up into your mind when you're facing fear, when you're facing suffering? Be strong and courageous. But let's look at what that strength and that courage is based on as we continue to read. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. What were the instructions that Moses gave him? Scripture. What we see as the first five books of the Bible. And he goes on to say this, do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The foundation for biblical strength and courage is God's word. And how do you listen to God's word? Well, the first thing that you have to do is you have to open it. We read it, right? Study this book of instruction. Now, let me ask you, does that word study intimidate you? Or just make you go, nah, I've had enough of that. Look, when we talk about studying Scripture, you don't have to be an academic. We're not talking about you have to, like, get a degree in biblical studies, okay? Now, if you want to do that, go for it. But what we're talking about is just Scripture intake. Are you reading God's word? Are you hiding it in your heart? Now, that's not always easy, is it, right? I mean, how many of us are going through the one-year reading Bible plan right now? You start off great, and then you hit a couple of passages, and you're like, whew, I don't know about this. Or we're going through a time where we're consistent, but it's just dry. Let me tell you, it's amazing how when you read God's word and you hide it in your heart, and what I mean by hiding it in your heart is just reading it and paying attention to it. It's amazing how the Spirit will bring that scripture to light, will bring that scripture to your mind when it is time. So we read it, and then the second thing, what is it? Meditate on it. Meditate on it day and night. So when you read something, you know, everything that we read in scripture every day that we read, it's not like we immediately memorize everything that we read on the page, right? But what is it that God impresses on your mind? What is it that God impresses on your heart? What is it that he enlightens your mind to and you learn? It could be a word. It could be a phrase. It could be something like that. Take that and think about that during the day. Meditate on it. It means to, meditating means to chew on God's word, to let it roll around in your mind. So how do you listen to Jesus? You listen to Jesus, first of all, through scripture. And then the second way that we listen to Christ, that we listen to Jesus, is through prayer, right? We actually talk to God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Because of Christ, we can talk to God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us this: don't worry about anything. Is this another familiar one for you? Don't worry about anything. Instead, what? Pray about what? Everything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience, verse 7, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. How is it that you listen to Christ? Well, you listen through scripture and you listen through prayer. And we talk about something at New Work Fellowship that allows us to do this every day because you have to be intentional. We talk about chair time. Do you have that time and do you have that place each day where you can go and sit in the presence of God, shut everything else out, open God's word, read God's word, spend some time praying about what God is teaching you? You see, we have to listen to Jesus. And when we listen to Jesus, this is when we do what he says in John 16:33, you find peace in him. You listen to Jesus and you find peace in him. Now, what does peace look like in your life? How many of you would say, I have no idea. I don't experience it, right? And that's a truth, and that's a reality, because a lot of times the circumstance of our life, they're not peaceful circumstances. And so many times what we want God to do is just stop it. Stop the circumstance. Stop the things that are going on. And you know what? Sometimes he does. You go to the Lord and you pray and God answers the prayer like that. But I don't know about you, but a lot of times my circumstances don't change, especially when you're dealing with suffering. They remain the same. But what peace is in Christ is not just the absence of stress and turmoil and suffering. It's wholeness in the midst of it. That word peace that Jesus used there when he was talking to his disciples would have been shalom. Wholeness, completeness. It's being made whole in Christ in the midst of the circumstances that we all walk through in this life. So if you want to listen to Jesus and embody a biblical response to suffering in your life, listen to him and find peace in him. Have you done that? Have you stepped into the peace of Christ by stepping into relationship with him? If you haven't done that, let me encourage you and let me plead with you to take a step toward Christ by asking for the forgiveness of your sins, by committing to follow him as your personal Lord and Savior, because you will find life like no other. There is life in Christ that is different than anything else you've ever known in your life. As a matter of fact, it's not just a better life. It's not just about you being a good person. It is literally you going from death to life itself. And let me encourage you to reach out to Christ and have a conversation with the Lord and ask him to save you. Second thing that I would say is if you want to embody a biblical response to suffering, you do that by listening to Jesus, finding peace in him. And then let's go back to John 16, verse 33. Let's look at the second sentence where he says this, John 16, 33. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. You will have many trials and sorrows. So the way that we embody that biblical response to suffering is by walking with Jesus through trials and sorrows. Let me ask you this question. Does God know what it's like to suffer? Does God himself know suffering? Yes, he does. Absolutely. What do you think it was like for God in the very beginning when he created the universe and everything in it, the world? He created man, and then sin entered the world. They chose to turn their back on him. How do you think God suffered in that choice and in that moment and in that time? Do you think Jesus knew suffering and knows suffering? Absolutely. We know for a fact that he suffered on the cross. But do you think that he also suffered in a daily manner as he walked through this life? Absolutely, he suffered. And as a matter of fact, when it talks about trials and sorrows, what's one thing that you can think of when Jesus faced a trial? Now, the first thing that jumps to my mind is the literal trial that Jesus was about to go through that John talks about in these latter verses here. But you know, that wasn't the only time that he faced trial and sorrow. Do you remember at the very beginning of his ministry, he was baptized in the Jordan River and he was led by the Spirit into where? The wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights. And who showed up? Satan himself. And Jesus faced trial and he faced temptation. And this is what we need to understand. If Jesus knows suffering and he was perfect, I want to know how I can endure suffering the way Jesus did. And the way Jesus endured suffering was literally by the Word of God itself. I mean, think about it. Jesus, in the wilderness, Satan shows up and tempts him. And what is a phrase that you see over and over and over again in that passage? As it is written. That's all of Jesus' responses that we read in the Gospels. He says this, Matthew chapter 4, he said, But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's Jesus quoting Scripture. He's not just making that up. He's not just saying that in the moment. He's actually quoting. That's a direct quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Yeah, that's one of those books that you maybe had a hard time reading through, but God brought to mind and brought to light when it was time, even in the life of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 7, Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. That's a direct quote from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Guess where that's a quote from? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. This wasn't the only time that you see this happen in the life of Jesus. He was constantly quoting Scripture, constantly teaching Scripture, constantly fulfilling Scripture, constantly embodying Scripture, even to the point of death. Do you know that when Jesus is hanging on the cross, suffering the greatest pain that he has ever suffered, that I believe anyone ever suffered on the face of this earth, Scripture flowed from him. When he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was quoting Psalm 22. Look it up and read it sometime this week. That's how the psalm starts, but that's not how it ends, because it's a psalm of victory. But that's not the only thing he says. You want to look up the sayings of Jesus on the cross? You'll hear Psalm 22, 31, 42, 43, 91, Zechariah 13, 7, Genesis 9, 6, 2 Kings 6, and Daniel 7. And we don't have time to begin to go through all of the ways that Jesus embodied, spoke, and fulfilled Scripture in his life. And so if that is how Jesus endures suffering, that's how I'm called to endure suffering. That's how you're called to endure suffering. Let me tell you, believer, there is a way through, and you can endure suffering. You can embody that biblical response to suffering by listening to Jesus, finding peace in him, and walking with Jesus through trials and through sorrows by the word of God. But it doesn't stop there, because there's one more thing that he talks about. John chapter 16, verse 33. Let's look at the last sentence. But take heart. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. I'm going to read all of 33 again. Let's just, because this is where it leads up to. I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. So we need to listen to Jesus, find peace in him, walk with him through trials and sorrows by standing on the word of God. And then finally, we need to live in the victory of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't feel things that are very real, but it means that we know where we are. And we know what has happened, because I believe that suffering, moments of suffering in our life, create a crossroads for us, right? And there is one of, you have a choice. There's one of two ways that you can go. And guess who shows up in times of suffering, in times of trial, in times of sorrow, just like they showed up, just like he showed up in that wilderness. Satan, that sorry serpent, will slither up next to you, and he will whisper in your ear, and he will make you look forward and see nothing but a dark hole. And he will convince you that there's nothing ahead, that it's only what you have right here and right now, that your suffering is the only reality to this moment and this time and this life. And he doesn't lead you, he actually pushes you. And what he uses is he uses everything from your past that he can to push you into that dark place, to where you'll feel isolated, where you'll feel alone. And if you ever want to know which way you're leaning in times of suffering, ask yourself this: am I just hearing the darkness? Am I only hearing that this is all it is? Am I only hearing those lies that are taking the reality of this circumstance and making them my only future? You see, that's one way. And Satan leads us into that place and we are stuck there. But there is another way. Because when we take a step toward Jesus, same circumstances, same suffering, same pain, same events, same everything that is going on in our life, all of a sudden when we turn and we look in the direction of Jesus Christ, the first thing that we can see is that there is light. Light at the end of that tunnel, that this is not a place where we're stuck. This is something that we go through. And on the other side of this, there is eternity with Jesus himself. All hope, all mercy, all grace, all joy will be realized for eternity itself. And then when we see that light, the Spirit whispers to us and reminds us that God's word itself is what? It is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. And we strike that match and we open it up, and all of a sudden we see where we are. And where are we? We see that we are in a world that is lost and that is broken. And what Scripture tells us is that we live in the valley of the shadow of death itself. But now we can see where we're going. And what is that? Hope. And we can see where we are. And when we see where we are and we look around and we see that valley of the shadow of death, which can be scary. Believer, you will be scared in this life. Christian, you will fear in this life. But that is okay, because when you look down at the bottom of that valley, at that valley floor, you're going to see a well-worn path that is worn by the feet of Christ himself, because he's been there, he has walked through it, he has experienced it. And when we begin to see through the light of God's word that Jesus has been there, that he is where we're going, then all of a sudden, who steps out of the shadows? Jesus himself. Because remember, in the valley of the shadow of death, what the great shepherd says: I am with you. And Jesus extends that nail-scarred hand that's warm to the touch to us, and he says to us over and over again, I will never leave you or forsake you. And And it's in that moment that we're reminded, because of God's word, we are not alone. And Jesus doesn't push us. He leads us, and he walks beside us, and he walks with us through it. And he whispers hope to us, and he shouts grace to us, and he prepares the way, and he pulls us along, and he walks with us, beside us, through those times, and he reminds us that that's what victory in Christ looks like. Because when you think about both of those realities, and both of those can be realities for us, right? What is it that Jesus reminds us through his word about the reality of Satan? His head was what? Jesus' heel was bruised, but Satan's head, it was crushed. You see, what Jesus leads us to is life. What Satan leads us to is his ultimate reality. It's the only thing he knows. It's the only place he's headed. We have to choose which way we're going to go. Follow Christ. We follow Christ by listening to him. We embody that biblical response to suffering. And yes, it's going to be hard. And yes, we're going to feel the feelings. But we follow Christ. But you know, that's all of what goes on inside of us, right? It's all about us. That's what Jesus does for us through relationship with him. And when we focus on God's word and we meditate on God's word and we learn God's word, this is what happens in us. But you know that there's something, there's a whole other side to suffering. Did you know that you're not meant to suffer alone? So when we suffer, even though we feel like nobody else knows and nobody else understands, the truth of the matter is we are surrounded by a great host of witnesses that have gone before us. We are surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ that are experiencing some of the same things, and we can help one another as we endure suffering. So how do we help one another? Turn with me to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. I love this passage. The whole book of Hebrews is written to a group of Christians, a group of believers, for the purpose of helping them endure suffering. But Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and following says this. Let's read this together. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opens a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts and fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. When we are going through suffering and enduring suffering, we can embody that biblical response of suffering, but we can also help one another by doing some things that are pointed out right here. And let's start with the foundational part. Let's start with the last verse that we read there, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and let's just kind of back our way through that passage, because the first thing that you can see that we can do to help one another is to gather together with other believers. It's pretty simple, right? We gather together with other believers, verse 25. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. How many of you hear that verse in another version? I do, because I grew up learning it a different way. Let us not forsake the assembling of the saints, right? Some of you are like, I'm so glad you said it that way. It just kind of sits in our heart. The first thing that we have to do is we have to gather together. Every week we gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ for the purpose of lifting up the name of Jesus, bringing glory to God, but also bearing one another's burdens and sharing in our suffering. The second thing that we see is this: not only do we gather with other believers, but we can help one another by growing in God's word together. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. Let us hold tightly. See the community language that's used here. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let me tell you how we do that right here at New Work Fellowship. That is what our small groups are all about. This embodies why we meet in small groups. Yes, this corporate meeting of worship is incredible and it is great, but we also break up into small groups so that we can pray together, so that we can read God's word together, so that we can spur one another on to acts of love and good deeds. All of our small groups, they find ways to go into the community, to share the love of Christ, to be the hands and feet of Christ himself. And if you're not part of one, let me just encourage you, jump in today. It's a great thing to be a part of. You're missing out on something that is really wonderful, especially if you're going through a time of suffering. You'll find brothers and sisters gathered around you that'll pray for you. You'll hear things talked about in God's word that'll encourage you and build you up. And you'll find a way to serve those around you, even in the midst of your suffering. So grow in God's word together. And then the third thing is this, by praying together. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, don't miss this, let us go right into his presence. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. We gather together, we group together, and we pray together. Now, I want us to do something this morning, a little different. You got that card that you filled out earlier with those things, those ways that you're enduring suffering right now. Let's actually pray together this morning. And here's what I want to ask you to do. I want you to group up according to how you're comfortable. We're pretty grouped up right now. But turn around and talk to either, you know, maybe the family that you came with, some friends that you came with. Group up according to how you're comfortable, and then share according to how you're comfortable some of those things that are on that card. And then do this. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. And then let me encourage you to do this. Maybe you want to switch cards with somebody and pray for each other throughout the rest of the week. So let's take this time. Let's take the next few minutes, gather up, share, pray, and then in just a moment, we'll end with a prayer all together. So let's go ahead and gather around with each other. Thank you. if you're still sharing and praying, you just continue to do so. But let's go to the Lord in prayer together. God, we thank you. We thank you that we are not alone, that Jesus is with us, and that we can have relationship with you through him. We thank you that we have brothers and sisters in Christ that can help us bear our burdens, that can help us endure suffering, that can help us in our time of need. But God, we thank you for your word that we can stand on, that we can embody, we can be obedient to, and we can follow, and we can live by. And God, I just pray that as we continue to share, that you would help us to see that your grace is greater than any trial or sorrow, than any sin, and that we find that grace and that hope and that peace in Christ alone. And it's in him that we pray. In Jesus' name.